Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Everyone been to the toilet now? Okay, that's good. I think John's just gone. He didn't get the message, did he? Bless him. Should we wait for him? No, I'm only joking. Right, so praise the Lord. Hey, I just want to encourage you guys to come to that prayer meeting. You know, it's going to be a significant thing that happens after Brexit. We believe, actually, that revival is coming very soon, and Brexit is actually one of the sort of things that's got to happen before it happens. The Bible says, an interesting verse in the Psalms, it says that the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. Oh, interesting verse that. Maybe it's to do with Europe. Maybe it's to do with us coming out of Europe, because the prophetic that we're following, do you remember the Smith Wigglesworth prophetic vision for revival, that we're going to see the biggest revival the world has ever seen, and it's going to start in the UK, and it's going to spread across Europe. This is the revival that we're believing for. This is the revival that we're sure is about to happen. No wonder our houses are getting burgled and everyone's drinking alcohol in the streets, because before every revival that's ever happened, society has been at a really low point. No wonder we look at the government and think, what's going on? Well, because society is at a really low point at the moment, lower than it's ever been. Oh, about time for God to break in. Every revival there's ever been, it's been like this. There's uncertainty in the air. No one knows what's really happening. Everyone's a bit scared and fearful. People are turning to drink and drugs and crime and all sorts of demonic things. Good time then for God to break in, isn't it? What a good time for God to break in. Should we pray for that and believe for that, brothers and sisters? Because a day is coming when you're not going to be able to stop people from coming in those doors. Every church in the area will be filled with people, because everyone will be seeking God. Do you believe that? Because this is going to happen very soon, we believe. Amen. None of my stuff was stolen either, so I'm not really bothered that we got burgled, so praise God. No, but isn't it horrible? Isn't it a horrible story that when you feel defiled and you feel like someone's been through your house? It's a bit like that with sin, actually, as well. It's a bit like that when sin enters your life, because sin takes everything from you and gives you nothing. And we're going to talk about the life of an awesome man of God who we don't really know much about, but we know that he was an awesome man of God. So should we just pray? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this series that we're doing on faith that you gave us, Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, you teach us something new individually and personally about faith this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your plans and your purposes. Thank you that you're working through us and in us, individually and corporately together as a church. We pray we would hear you, Holy Spirit, this morning. Speak over me and despite me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So if you've got your Bibles, or even you haven't, because it's going to be on the screen supernaturally. Yeah. So Hebrews 11. See, I did that. Hebrews 11. We'll just read a few verses. We're going to focus mainly on verses 5 or 6. We'll start from the beginning of Hebrews 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. And this is our little bit this morning. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Wow. So the only thing we know about Enoch, other than this really, in the Bible anyway, is back in Genesis 5. So we're going to just quickly turn to Genesis 5 and see what it says. There's a long list in Genesis 5, and well, I'm not going to read it all. You'd be glad to know. But this is the list of Adam's line. You know, Adam, the first man that was created by God. This is a list of his family line after Cain and Abel, because Cain became a, you know, wanderer of the earth, okay, and was away from God. Although God still spoke to him, but we'll come on to that another time. But after this, and Abel was dead, so Adam's other son Abel was dead because Cain killed him. Yeah, we had that last week, didn't we, with Stuart, if you remember. But this is the line of Adam, okay? So this chapter is talking about what happened very briefly, actually, in the line of Adam, in Adam's descendants after Cain and Abel. So it starts by talking a little bit about Adam, then talks about Adam's son Seth, okay, and then Enosh and Kenan, and then we get to Mahalalel. So let's read it from Mahalalel, which is a good Eston name. I think you'll agree, isn't it, Ian? Yeah, so when Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. And after he became the father of Jared, Mahalalel, that's how you pronounce it, lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Mahalalel, I'm glad I picked this one, lived 895 years and then he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years and then he died. Well, listen to this though. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Isn't that interesting? Well, Lord, show us about Enoch and the significance of this for us today. You know, you notice if you read through all of this, all the Genesis chapter 5, everyone dies. Every single person who's mentioned, every son of Adam dies, lives for absolutely ages, yeah, but dies. It's the same around us, actually, isn't it? Around Enoch, when he was living, death was all around him. Actually, you only have to read a bit further into chapter 6 to see what happened in the time of Noah. You know, Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. Yeah. And this is what it says a few verses later about the time of Noah. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Sounds like a good place to live, isn't it? Sounds like a good time to live in. We think this is pretty bad right now, but wow, it was pretty bad then. And you know, the Bible says that the consequences of sin and wickedness and evil is death. So no wonder people were dying. Adam and Eve, before they sinned, there was no mention of death. Death entered the world as a result of sin, brothers and sisters, of sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Wow. So Enoch was living at a time when sin was all around him, death was all around him. But there was something different about Enoch. For some reason, and we don't really know why, something miraculous happened to Enoch and he didn't actually experience death. Wow. Do you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, whoever obeys my word will never see death. Wow. It also says that in Jesus, death has lost its sting. Wow. Is that how you feel about death? Death is often something that we're scared of and afraid of because it's the unknown, isn't it? It's the uncertain death. We don't know what's going to happen to us after we die. if we're the majority of people. Death is a big, scary wilderness that no one really understands, except Christians, except people who believe the second part of that verse from Romans, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Wow. You know, I was in tears earlier because we were listening to a song by Horatio Spafford. You know the song, All Is Well With My Soul. It is well, it is well. Come on, let's get sing song going. Okay, let's not bother. It is well with my soul. Do you know the life of this man, Horatio Spafford? You know that his first son, his only son actually, died very young of scarlet fever. And a few years later, four of his daughters, his other four children, died in a shipwreck with 200 other people. And his wife survived that shipwreck. And while he was traveling by boat to go to meet his wife, who was rescued from this shipwreck, he wrote this song. It is well, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. Wow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the pain and the hurt that you felt? And how easy it would have been to just be angry with God. But instead he began to praise God. He began to praise God because he knew that his family were in heaven. He knew that his kids were going to heaven. He knew that his soul was safe. Do you? Do you know that this morning? Are you certain that you have life? Or you might experience death, but not really. The Bible talks about it as if it's like going to sleep. Jesus was laughed at because he said, oh, don't worry, they're just asleep, gone to sleep. Because what we're waiting for, brothers and sisters, is what happened to Enoch, is what's going to happen to us. We're going to be taken to heaven one day when Jesus returns, whether we're dead or alive. It doesn't matter. We're going to go to heaven if we believe in Jesus, who is the only way to heaven. You know, a couple of years ago, now about a year and a half ago, my mum died. My mum, I was her only son. She brought me up as her only son. I only lived with her. I absolutely loved my mum. I was very close to her. And of course, I was devastated when she died. I was devastated when she got cancer and died. Absolutely devastated. But there was a point while she was dying where God spoke to me and he assured me that she wasn't really dying. He assured me that she was going to be in heaven with him. Above her bed where she lay as she was really dying, there was a picture. You know, this was the room she eventually died in. It was at the end of the hospital ward, Ward 9, the cancer ward. It was the end of that. There was this picture above her bed. I'll never forget it. It was like paradise. You know, we're from Kent, you might be able to tell. And in Kent, there are these things called oast houses. Beautiful things. They're like got a round roof. And it's where they dry hops to make beer, which is also very awesome. And the beer is much better in Kent, by the way, than here. Anyway, boo. So that picture that was above her bed had these oast houses in it. And I thought, what are the chances of that? To my mum, looking at that and looking at a garden, a beautiful garden that we have in Kent, beautiful gardens filled with beautiful, colourful flowers. It's called the Garden of England, Kent, you know. Looking at this, I felt God clearly say to me, today she'll be with me in paradise. And then I had peace, you see. I had peace because I knew also that she'd come to faith in Jesus, because I'd said a prayer for her a few months earlier. And the interesting thing was, And the thing that really upset me at the time was that I didn't make it in time for my mum's death. I was there a lot. I was there loads and loads because I knew she was dying. I mean, the doctors said she had longer than she did. She died very quickly in the end. But I was there all that time. But then it was George's birthday on this particular day, on the 19th of May, 2018. And so I wanted to be there for Georgia in the morning when she woke up to open a present, you know, from her nanny. I wanted to be there so I could go and tell her nanny, Georgia loved that present. Thank you. And so I left. I left the night before she died. And I'll never forget it, quite early in the morning, probably around 7 in the morning, the hospital rang me and said, there's been a change in her breathing. You need to come now if you want to see her before she dies. So I just rushed to the hospital. I got there really quickly and I thought, she's going to be alive. And I got there and she died. I'd missed it. And I immediately broke down in tears. And I was devastated because she died and I wasn't there. I wanted to be there. And I said, Lord, why did this happen, you know? And God was saying the same thing. Today, she'll be with me in paradise. The reason I'm telling you this is because we need to know it's a reality, this. If you believe in eternal life, that you have the gift of eternal life, that you've received it, not because of anything you've done, but you've just received it, then honestly, everything in your life will be different, brothers and sisters. Your whole life will change. I wonder if Enoch knew this was going to happen to him. He was going to knock around for 365 years and then God was going to take him straight to heaven. I mean, it says he couldn't be found because he was like raptured, you know. He was, what's going to happen to us when Jesus returns? Going to meet him in the air, the Bible says. We're just going to be taken to heaven. Do you know that that's you? Do you know that you're going to be in that position? Because if you don't, then this is the time to get to know, brothers and sisters. This is the time to know and be sure. And God wants you to know. He wants you to be sure, like I'm sure. Not because of anything I've done, but just because I've asked Jesus to come into my life, and he has, really. Is that your experience? Or isn't it? You know, after my mum died and I'd calmed down a bit, it didn't take me long to calm down, actually, and I was sat there for a couple of minutes, and I texted a few people, and one of them was Martin, and he rang me and he said, I'll come down in a minute. And I was sat there on my own. My mum was there. Well, she wasn't really there, she was gone, but her body was there. And this nurse came in with a cup of tea. It's just what we need, isn't it, British people? Whatever the situation, a cup of tea sorts it out, doesn't it, Stephen? Cup of tea. So she came to me with this cup of tea and she said, would you like a cup of tea? And I said, thanks. And I sat down with her and she just stayed with me and sat there, and she was looking at me like, really looking at me, you know. And I thought, what the heck is she looking at? Have I got something on my face, or we've got bogeys hanging out, or what is it? And I said, you're right, you know. And she said, yeah. She said, I was with your mum when she died. And I said, what happened? And she told me what happened. Wasn't anything amazing. Nothing particularly amazing happens when someone dies, apparently. She died. She just breathed different and then slipped away and died. And she said to me, can I just ask you a question? Why are you so calm? And inside, I didn't really feel calm. I was upset, you know. And so I said to her, well, I know where she's gone. I know where she is now. I know she's gone to heaven to be with the Lord. And she said, you're one of them. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, what are you, like a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or something. And I said, no, I'm a Christian. I just believe that for Christians, if they put their faith in Jesus, they'll go to heaven. And I started to tell her how I became a Christian, right? It's like a weird situation. My mum was, or her body was there. And I was witnessing to this nurse. And she was interested, you know. And I invited her on the Alpha course that we had coming up and stuff like that. And I was kind of running out of things to say. And who better to walk in than Martin Ruddock in a little T-shirt that showed his belly and some shorts and flip-flops. And he said, hi, you brother. And he said, hi to the nurse. And then he started to tell her about his story. And it was just an awesome moment, an awesome, brilliant moment of God actually showing me the reality of eternal life. It is a reality, brothers and sisters, and we should live our lives in that reality every day. So, Enoch was taken from this life, so he didn't experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. And then it goes on to say, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Wow. As one who pleased God. It's interesting now if you look, because all these guys live hundreds of years, like nearly 1,000 years, some of them. But Enoch only had 300 years on the earth. So you might think, ah, oh, poor Enoch. What about the other 700 years or, you know, 652 years or whatever it is? Poor Enoch. But no, because it says Enoch walked with God for those 300 years. So for 65 years, he didn't walk with God. But then for 300 years, he did. How awesome would that be? To walk with God for 300 years. I wonder what it was like. I wonder if it was really hard for him. I like to think it was actually quite fun. Do you? Quite fun to walk with God. Because we see a life properly walking with God is actually full of adventures. Look at Jesus' life. 33 years on the earth walking with God, particularly the last three of them, when he's filled with the Holy Spirit and performing mighty miracles and signs and wonders, healings like you wouldn't believe, raising people from the dead, feeding 5,000 people with like a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. What a phenomenal, exciting life walking with God is. And we can see it when we look in the Bible, we look at the life of these people in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Absolutely phenomenal life. You know, John 10:10 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, though the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. Abundant life, some versions say. Are you living that abundant life right now? Are you living an exciting life where you're walking with God, where you're relying on God for everything and walking with him? There's an opportunity for you here today to do it because it's so exciting. I've been doing it for about 12 years and it's brilliant. It's absolutely awesome. But we can get into thinking because of all the bad things that happen to us that, oh, it's just like everyone else. It's just life, you know. But actually, it's not meant to be like that, brothers and sisters. A life walking with God is meant to be exciting and full of fun. I mean, I've been reading, but I read books, okay, about Christians because I want to be inspired. I get inspired by reading the Bible, but also get inspired by reading biographies of Christians, okay? Do you? You read biographies of Christians and you think, wow, I want to do that. I want to be used by God like that. And the truth is, God wants to use you and me like that. He wants us to be vessels for his Holy Spirit, to live in, to actually do stuff through. Everything about you was created by God, and the Holy Spirit wants to use you to do what God has created you to do. Do you know that? You have individual gifts and talents that are unique just to you, that God wants to use to bless other people and mainly to bring other people to faith in him. This is what our gifts and talents are for, brothers and sisters. Many of us go through our lives, unfortunately, not using those to the max. And I believe God wants to stir us up this morning, wants to bring us back this morning. Still January, isn't it? Still, we can still say Happy New Year and still start again. You can do this anytime with God, actually. Decide to start again and say, right, I'm going to start living that abundant life that Jesus talked about. I want the fullness that he gives us to be manifest in everything I do. You can start that today. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Oh, what an awesome verse. Some of the things Jesus says, you're like, oh, come on. Have you been set free yet from sin, or are you still under it? You see, a life with sin in it, where sin is like has a power over you that you can't get away from, that is not a victorious life, brothers and sisters. That is not an abundant life. Oh, sure, you're meant to sin, and we do sin. Actually, everyone sins. But it's important that when we sin, we realize we've sinned, and we get up and we stop it. Jesus isn't soft on sin. He didn't say to the woman caught in adultery, carry on sinning, see you next time. No, he says, stop sinning. Stop. Stop. I want to tell you, and I want to encourage you to turn away from sin this morning. Turn away from it. Have nothing to do with it. Enoch probably wasn't free of sin completely. It wasn't Jesus. He wasn't sinless. Ah, but I bet he was blameless, because I bet he asked God for forgiveness after those first 65 years. I don't know what happened when his son Methuselah was born, but something happened, because suddenly it says he started walking with God and then continued doing so for 300 years. Did he never sin for those 300 years? Probably did. But I bet he kept coming back to God for forgiveness. Now, I don't want to condemn anyone this morning, because that's not what Jesus is all about. Jesus is about forgiveness. And you can know forgiveness this morning. But you have to want to repent and say sorry. And you have to want to stop living in sin in order for Holy Spirit actually to break it from you. Do you know that? I read a story about Jackie Pullinger. Have you read it? You might have read it, called Chasing the Dragon. And you know the story about Jackie Pullinger. She goes as a missionary in the 1960s to Hong Kong, of all places, on her own, right? And she ends up having this phenomenal, massive ministry where she's helping the drug addicts, who are drug addicts, by the way, because of colonization in Britain and the Opium War and all that. But she's there to help them. And she believes her ministry is to help these drug addicts come to faith in Jesus and get free of drugs. But she said something very interesting in this book. She said that one of those drug addicts, unless they had the basic desire to want to be free of sin, to want to change, unless they had that basic desire to want to repent of their sins, which just means to do a 180 and turn from them and no longer do them, if they didn't have that, then they wouldn't be able to change. Nothing would change them. Who gives people that? Oh, it's Holy Spirit. Did it to us. We were standing in a meeting. We didn't really want to respond to the gospel. It wasn't our plan. But for some reason we did, because we were convicted of our sins. And we walked to the front, and our lives have been different ever since. I'm going to give you an opportunity today. Sorry I'm preaching the gospel. I just love it and I can't not do it. I want to give you an opportunity today to start walking with God again. Maybe you've gone away from God. Maybe it's ever so slightly. Maybe you've done a little sin in recently and you haven't repented of it yet. Maybe you're just coming to realize it now. Oh yeah. Well, God wants us to come back to him, and he'll forgive us as many times as we need it. Holy Spirit wants to convict us of our sins. Paul says this in his letter to the Romans. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master. Why don't you say quietly in your heart, sin, you are not my master. The third part of this, final bit, verse 6, goes on to say, and without faith, this is Hebrews verse 6, 11 verse 6, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Wow. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see, Enoch chose to seek God. That's what he was doing for those 300 years. He was seeking God, earnestly seeking God, obviously. He wouldn't say that otherwise, would it? He was seeking God. Are you seeking God? Are you seeking God daily? God, what should I do with my life today? God, what do you want me to do? How do you want to use me? Where should I be? What should I do? How much money should I give? What shall I do with my life? God wants us to seek him and earnestly mean it. You know, faith is about a life choice, actually. It's not about coming together on a Sunday like this and like an image of holiness. Oh, no, it's not like that. It's actually choosing to walk on what Isaiah called the highway of holiness. It was Isaiah, wasn't it? Yeah. The highway of holiness. Choosing to take the narrow road that Jesus says leads to life. It's a choice, faith. God has created you and me with free will. We're totally free, brothers and sisters, to make a choice. But I tell you, if you make a choice this morning to walk with him and mean it, and you're prepared to be free of sin and walk away from it and not be in it and under its power, then God will break in. And he'll break the chains for you. Romans, Paul says, everything that doesn't come from faith is sin. Wow, it's a bit powerful, isn't it? He was talking about food at the time and how, you know, about food sacrificed to idols and that kind of thing. But in the end it says, anything and everything that doesn't come from faith is sin. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Are we doing that this morning? Should we do that this morning? You know, I haven't been doing that. I've got to admit to you, I haven't been doing that. But I want to be. And Holy Spirit convicted me as I was thinking about this. I want to be doing that, Lord. You know, I've recently read about Rhys Howells. I don't know if you've ever read about this Welsh revivalist. Tin miner he was, Rhys Howells, in the late 19th century. He became one of the most powerful intercessors and men of God, men to be used by God ever. He did some phenomenal things. I was reading recently a little story about how God told him that this woman would be healed and would like get eternal life. And he believed it. And she had tuberculosis, and so he began to pray, and he gave it to God, and he began to step in her shoes and like get to know her and understand what it was like to live with tuberculosis. And he prayed for her, and he prayed for her, and he prayed for her. But in the end, she died. But God taught him something. He taught him to actually put himself in the place of the person he was praying for when he was praying for them. So he learned that lesson. So he was called to the bedside of a dying man a few months later. Don't know what this man was dying of, but it says his wife was absolutely distraught because they had 10 kids. You can imagine, this is one more than the Ruddocks. 10 kids. And he was the breadwinner. He was the only breadwinner. At the time, women didn't really work. She was fearful of what would happen to them because what used to happen was kids were taken to the poorhouse, to the workhouse, to work for nothing and live in horrible conditions. So for the first time really in his life, Rhys Howells really, really wanted this man to be healed. I mean, when he arrived, He was absolutely dying. He was unconscious already. The doctors have said there's no hope for him. He's going to die in a few days. All right. And Reese Howells was just so moved by his wife that he started to pray for her. And when he prayed, he wept. And he says in his book, when you weep, it's like touching the throne of God. And God listens. And so he felt God say to him when he was in this man's house one day, this man will be healed and he will live. He'll be completely healed and lived. And he believed it. So he said to his wife, look, I believe God's told me that your husband's going to live. He's going to live. And the woman wasn't convinced. The wife was like, yeah, but you thought that with this woman with tuberculosis and she didn't live. So why? Why do you think that? And, you know, it doesn't seem to be happening, does it? You're praying and it's not happening. So Reese Howells, he said he walked home and he was attacked by the enemy in his head. But the Holy Spirit said to him, go back and tell her as if you really mean it. Go back and tell this woman as if you really mean it tomorrow morning. And Reese Howells had to get a train at 8 o'clock. He's going away for a couple of days. He had to get a train at 8 o'clock the next morning. But obedient, he went 5:30 a.m. He started the 2 mile walk to this woman's house in the wind and the snow. All the time the enemy was saying, he's dead, he's dead, this guy's dead, why are you bothering, why are you bothering? He kept going, he kept walking there. But he knew that God was with him. You know what's going to happen. He went there and he said to the woman, look, maybe I didn't make it clear enough yesterday. Forget what's happened in the past. Your husband will live. And then he went away and he went on the train that he was going to catch at 8 o'clock, and he was away for 2 days. And all the time he was away, the enemy was attacking him in his head, thinking, he was thinking, are they going to ask you to preach at his funeral? He's dead. He's definitely dead. All this 2 days. But he had this peace, you see, from God. He knew that that wasn't the case. So he went back. He was on his way on his train back. And all these people came to meet him at the station. And they said, this man has woken up. He's alive. He's been healed. Thank you, Jesus. You know, being used by God means that we have to give everything to him. Surrender to him. As Stuart was saying last week, surrender everything you have to him. And he will use you to do mighty things in this coming revival. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. You know, we've got a bit of time for some ministry now. I just want to encourage you. If you've not come to faith in Jesus yet, then this is a serious opportunity for you. I'm not forcing you to do anything, but I'm giving you an opportunity right now. God has brought you here for a reason. If you want to be sure that you have eternal life, that you're going to heaven when you die, not because of anything that you've done, but because Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and he dealt with sin for you, and he was raised to life and made a way to heaven for you and I. If you want to believe that this morning, this is your opportunity to. Just repeat after me in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit and lead me in your way everlasting. I'm sorry for my sins, Lord. Please forgive me. Come and cleanse me from all the things I've done which have not pleased you.